Dash number 16721, Edward Gregg, Reel 1.
Mr. Gregg, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Gregg?
I was born in Birtley. 17 Cuthbert Street, in Birtley.
Your date of birth?
24th of November, 1919.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. I had two brothers who died young, you know. Then I've had a older sister. She was about 8 years older than me. Then I come on the scene. Then I had a younger sister.
What did your father do?
He worked in Birtley, the Betty Pit. He was a very big bandsman, brass bands, orchestras. And when I was about 6 years old, this is where he left the pits. He was making more money as a musician. So he left the pits and moved to Jarrow. This is the silent films. I was about 6-7 years old when this happened.
So he was playing in the cinema?
The cinema. Theatre Royal in Newcastle. Brass bands, all the contests. In fact, I've got a picture upstairs. Birtley St. Joseph's Prize Band, where he was a bugler in the 1418 War.
Which regiment was he with?
He was in the Durhams. He was in the 8th Battalion. He was a prisoner of war in Germany.
Did you take any musical abilities from him?
No. When I was little, I used to go into the room and carry his instruments out, and if he caught us, I got a good hiding because it was his bread and butter, you know. I'm rude now, but he come to me and says, "Well, lad, you always wanted to play. Now's the time to learn." With getting the thumps, you know, it just turned me off.
Did your mother work?
My mother? No, not till the latter end. My dad, he died, he was about 44 when he died. I was about 14 year old. And he got gangrene in the feet. And it was through the war, like trench feet. And my mom, she didn't get a pension for it, and she had to go out to work, and she was a cleaner at a local pub till she retired. Now I left school when I was 14. Work wasn't much work around. I was an errand boy. Around about 16, I was an errand boy at a chemist shop.
Just before we come to your work, can we get a little bit more of your childhood background? What was the area like that you lived in?
Well, we lived down by the riverside, by Jarrow Palmer Shipyard. Was world renowned for the shipbuilding. And I went to St. Peter's School, Church of England School.
It would be a working class area?
Yes, uh-huh. A
closely knit community?
Oh, yes, you could leave your doors open. Everybody knew everybody. If somebody hit you, they had to hit everybody, you know, very, very good.
And you went to which school, did you say?
St. Peter's.
What was it like there? What's your memories of that?
Well, I enjoyed the school. Teachers, nice teachers.
Strict discipline?
Well, it was in those days. You know, we had a teacher and she loved the cane. And she had a little pad there, and if you'd done anything wrong, she kicked the pad and you had to kneel down and you got two wallopers, you know. If you said, I'll bring me dad, bring your dad and he'll get the same, you know, this is. But on the weekends, she said, right, we'll meet you at the school, and she used to take us to Tynemouth and all over. Packs of sweet cheeks. But at school, she was the boss, right?
This would be the infant school. Where did you move to later in your school life?
And it was in the same school, the higher classes. I ended up on the school football team. One of my jobs, when we're playing on the Saturday, on the Friday, while they were doing their lessons, I was up dubbing the ball and that, you know. I played outside left for the school team. We used to get beat about 20 note, but great.
And the things that they were teaching you at school, what was your favourite lesson?
Well,
or subject?
Arithmetic, history. You got lessons on the British Empire and things like this, which they don't get nowadays.
Was life any tougher as you got older in the school? Did the discipline become even more tough?
Oh, you got bullies and that, like. I always found if anybody was bullying you, if you hit them first, it calmed them down, you know.
What kind of leisure activities did you have as a child out of school?
Oh, out of school, we used to walks. We used to walk. We over. Through Bowling, in Bowling Corrie, the pit then, when it was going well, it was a big wooden fired up bridge, you know. And we used to get up there and crawl around it. We weren't the angels, but we used to crawl around this bridge, we used to walk. It must be about 6 or 7 miles over to what they call Three Horseshoes. This was a Royal Air Force fighter base, the old Gloucester Gladiators and that, you know. Then we used to amble back, we used to knock at doors, all the years used to answer the door and come up and drink of water, you know, yes son. In them days there was no nastiness. We had our little tips like knocking nine doors and things like that. One of our favourites, we used to go out into the wash houses, you know, get post tubes and wheel them round to the next street and put them in the front door, knock at the door, you know. And
with water in them?
No, empty, you know, and oh, lovely post tub. And the next day, women bargain about the post tubs, you know, things like this. But they never know nastiness. Like.
How did you get on with for food and clothing in your home? Was there plenty of it?
Oh, not a lot. When my dad, when the Taunton films come in, there were a lot put out of work, the musicians. Then he got the gangrene in the feet. And he used to go in my boots, he used to have the tours cut out, you know, for his tours and that. And I used to go up, go to the doctors, get this morphine, you know, for the killer pain and that. I used to get a bag of nuts and raisins at a fruiter shop, you know, for going to the doctor to get the prescription. And the doctor, who was it? He was Dr. Hewson Jarrow. He was a well-known professional dancer. And my dad, he played for the local dance bar, Todd's Orchestra. And Dr. Hewson liked to get up and on the drums, you know. But I used to go up to get the medicine, and I used to be sitting back to back with Dr. Ewerson, and he used to be eating people are still waiting, but he always seemed to hang on to me, like.
It must have been a pretty tough life for you.
I mean, I always had dogs, a dog, you know. And I used to go up to butchers and I got a bone for the dog. Is there? Oh, aye, there you are, son. They spring it all, and my mum would make a pan of broth with it. There was more meat on the bones in them days than what you get. You know. Things like this.
As children, yeah, you really wouldn't notice that things were so bad. It would be your parents that would carry the stress.
They carried it, you know. I mean, you baked your own bread. My dad, he used to bake a lovely bread. Lovely beer. If I fell down, my dad, he used to walk in front of my dad, patch up, you know. Good dad.
Did he ever talk a great deal about his World War I experiences to you?
No. I'm a bit like that, like. As we used to say, like, when you get home and you're telling the tears and people that they're not believing you. That's true, like.
Did the church come into your life at all, or chapel?
Oh, yes, I. My mother, she was in the Mother's Union. There was the Boys Brigade.
You joined the Boys Brigade?
I was in the Boys Brigade. Uh-huh.
What was life like in the Boys Brigade?
Oh, it was good. We used to get to Durham with camps, you know, in the summer. And the older lads, they had like the church army. They had khaki uniforms, you know, and rifles. And they used to do a bit drill in the church hall. And after we had had our bit instruction, you know, we used to sit and watch the lads drilling.
What was the uniform of the Boys Brigade?
Well, we had a four-napped hat, you know, and a bag and a belt on.
This was the white, was it?
White bag.
And did you have to buy those yourselves?
Oh, no, they were the church, well, the Mother's Union then. They had sewing machines and they used to make clothes and things. And anything for the Boys Brigade, they would knock them off, you know.
Did you get any opportunity to have a holiday as a family?
No. The school holidays we spent, we used to walk from Jarrow down to South Shields on the beach. Not just one family. Three or four families, you know, your friends. And we used to walk down to South Shields and have a day on the beach. And everybody mucked in with the food, you know, one big happy family.
You said that you were 14 when your father died.
Yes.
And you left school about that time.
I just left school. And my dad died. He was about 44. And this is what I've missed in my life. You know, often thinking, what? He's up there, and always up there. But was he thinking I'd made a good job of my life? And had I done the right thing? And there's a miss. There's a miss.
What was your first job that you had?
The first job was errand boy in a chemist shop. And I'd curtailed. I used to scrub that chemist shop from back to front, on me hands and knees, the front step. The windows, shop windows, they were all clean. The paintwork was clean. And when you see shops now, hey, they're terrible. And later on at the shop, I used to do the messages, you know, going and getting supplies and things like this.
What was your wage?
5 shillings. Tuppence off our stamps.
How many hours a week would you work for that?
Well, 48, probably more. We used to start about 8 o'clock, and if it, well, in them days you could go to the first house pictures and come out and do a shopping. On a Saturday night the shops were open about 10.
And you would be working then?
That's right.
So is it was a full 6 day week, working week?
Yes.
Was the shop far away from your home?
Oh, I'd say half a mile. And when I got to 16, I was too old for that boy. I went into an ironmonger shop. What was ironmongers, radios, bikes, gramophone repairs and things like this. And my job when I first started there was charging cumulators for the welds, you know. Car batteries, washing them and press acid in and things like this. Radios. Anybody bought a radio, you'd take it on a, well, it was a three-wheeled bike, like the Walters thing, you know. Take it down to the house and fix it up. If it was a ship, you took it on the ship, fix it up, go up there. You might get a tip or something like that. Prams, pram tires on it. We should put new tires on. Gramophones. Spring in a gramophone. Take the old broad spring out, then wind the new spring in, you know. Things like this. Bikes. The shipyard workers used to come home on the bikes for their dinner, and they get a puncture, and the bike was just, and you made the puncture in minutes, you know. There you are, lad, and we had to go to catch the bullet to get in. It's grand, mate.
Had you? Did you have a higher wage at this place?
Well, as yet, it was about 20 shillings
a week.
A week, uh-huh.
And did you hand all this over to your mother?
Yes, tips. I used to get tips, things like this. And I used to open the packet and put extra in to help her.
How long were you with the, with this business?
Well, till I was 19, coming up to 20. When the war broke out, like all the lads, I would be 20 in November, the 24th. And September the 3rd, when the war broke out, we're all, we up, we're going up to heaven, the drill hall, to sign on, you know. They were having a bit nutter with them. In fact, some of them were billeted in the houses, the cottages by us, you know, with families.
What did your mother think of you going, actually trying to volunteer to join in the 3rd of September?
Well, there was tears and what have you, but we talked it over, you know. And my sister was there, who's, but the oldest sister, she was there to look after my mom. Fancy you would go, you couldn't get away from it.
Was it the sense of adventure that took you there, or patriotism, or what?
Well, you're serving your country, you know.
You said that you had a medical first.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Was that a good medical, did they?
Oh, yes, uh-huh, over at Newcastle.
Had you said what arm of the forces you wanted to join? What was your desire in those days?
Well, well, being a Durham, all I thought was the Durham's the DLI, you know.
And of course, your father had been in the DLI. So after the medical, presumably you came home then.
Oh, yes.
What happened next?
Well, I got me calling up here. had to go in 15th of January, and we reported at Ransford Castle.
Do you remember reporting there?
Oh, yes.
What was it like? What happened?
Well, we went in and we started getting our equipment. You know what size boots do you take? You know, oh, 7. Oh, there's an 8, you know. Trousers, they just looked at you. And then we'll fit you. Well, like Dad's Army, when we put, eventually they were all adjusted. They just, you were in. When you got your proper size, you know.
They give you proper size, or did you have to go to a tailor to have it measured?
Oh, no, you just went back to the stores and get them a best smaller truck. Aye, try them, so, you know. And top of the barber, and he, what do you want, son? Oh, short back and sides. Straight over the top. Well, the forest cap, you know, the one I had was too big for his thing. And when I got all my hair off and put it on, it was down here. That's how, you know, the young lad, Dad's up, just. But I fancy it.
Were you billeted in the castle at that time?
No. After we got kitted up, we went to Willington. That's what was about 2 or 3 miles up the road from Francis, the castle. We'd done about a month or more training there, the basics.
Where were you accommodated in Willington?
We were in, was by the station. It was like a big warehouse building, you know.
What were you sleeping on?
Palliasses, you know.
Just on the floor?
On the floor, that's it.
So where did you keep your uniform and equipment then?
Well, I had kit bags, your trousers and that. Well, as any old soldier, you know, you put them on your mattress, you know, a towel, damp towel between the legs, and think, you know, you cut you picked up all there.
What uniform had they actually given you?
Oh, the lot, the khaki shirts, underwear, and the blouses, Nova coats.
Did you have gaiters or putties?
Gaiters.
And the equipment they gave you, what equipment did they give you?
It was the two pouches, you know, and the second pack, and the big pack. You ended up with it. You were like a mule, you know.
How did you feel moving from a life at home into this life where you were just a body of men living in these rather difficult conditions?
Well, it was a bit strange at first, but when you piled up with the lads, you got out, and of course. We were still at age where we couldn't go and have a pint. You had to be 21. Yeah. We were trained up to kill. And we couldn't go and have a pint of beer because of what age.
Did you?
And when my dad was alive, if you were near a pub, you know, and he caught you, you know. But, I must admit, I give it a try, eh? Eventually, the nappies and that, you got in. I was a non-smoker. I didn't smoke. But the lads that smoked, they'd be fighting to get to me to get me chocolate ration. cigarette ration, and I got the chocolate ration, you know. That's all I'm.
You'd be given a rifle, had you?
No.
Not at this stage?
Not at this stage. What, 2-inch mortars? Brush shanks, you know. Those odd rifles forward to, you know, and the infantry, they have a couple of rifles handled on the end. Yeah, most of us built up. And we went to Woodburn. We fired about a dozen rounds, you know. And that was... We never actually owned a rifle, you know.
That was the big range at Woodburn.
That's right, huh?
What ranges were you firing at? What distances?
Well, say 400 to 500 yards.
So really, you didn't know much about rifles.
No. And the brain, you're mostly the brain. You spent hours, you know, what the training, stripping it down, you know, seconds. And the brain. Well, when you fired the brain, it you just had to hold it back. You know, no kick, but great gun. Then we were there about roughly up to 2 months.
Did you learn your initial drills at Willington?
Well,
where did those take place?
Outside, marching on the streets and things like that. There was a granary there, and they had 2.2 rifles, you know. Small bore things in targets, and we used to be lying on piles of grain firing at these, you know.
How did the local population take to you?
Oh, champion, you know, the Salvation Army, they're great, no doubt about it. And at Willington, when we first went into the army, the South, they all had done a lot. That was a little book I got when I was there at church. Yeah. Huh? And so he come and visit you. And Paul got a little book like that. I still hang on to these things.
So what other things did the Salvation Army do for you in Willington?
Well, there was a canteen place, you know, where we could go. And you could go and have another with him, you know, any advice. Yeah, your home, you know.
You said you were drilling on the main streets of Willington, or the streets of Willington.
The side streets, right.
How did the local population take to the way the sergeants and corporals were treating you?
Oh, they didn't argue about it, but you could see on their faces, you know, all the funny and good. What a good sergeant and a couple of good corporals.
Do you remember the names?
Well, there was a Sergeant Rodham and the two corporals, I just cannot think of the names. But from Willington, we went to Ushamua.
Did they, just before we get to Ushamua, did they train you in the light infantry pace from the very beginning?
Oh, yes.
Or did
you
gradually move up to it?
When you went in, you were in the Durhams. And we used to go from, we used to march to Brantford Castle, you know, for any changes out. And we used to stir on that door, like expresses, you know.
So you were drilling at Willington. Did you do route marches whilst you were at Willington?
Yes, route marches, schemes. You know, there's one or two woods in the town, and this is what we use for fighting woods, you know, training.
So kind of training the over the land itself, use of land.
That's it.
Was it First World War type training or
well,
a
yes,
change?
Digging the trenches like the old way, you know, parapet and all this.